Now, one of the last, according to a timeline, one of the last books written in the Old Testament. The words of Nehemiah the son, and it sounds like a mountain in Hawaii. Sounds like Hakalaya or something, but anyways, he was the son of him. And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, which would have put him in Babylon. And Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them, so that means they had visited or they had gone back and seen Jerusalem. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which didn't get caught in the captivity, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And here's the report. The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. What a terrible report about his home, Nehemiah's home and his parents' home. And now they had been in captivity many years already, and nothing had gotten better back home. The remnant was not allowed to rebuild. They mostly were kept on the outside, the farmers and so forth. And really, Jerusalem lay desolate. There was no bustling. There was no trade going on within. And it was just for lack of a better term, a ghost town. What it had been. I'm sure there were people around, but it was nothing like it was. And it was under great affliction and reproach. And verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned. You know, we have to allow the Lord to move us sometimes. Sometimes He's got to get to our emotions, so we'll do something. And when Nehemiah heard this terrible report, it saddened him. It caused him to mourn certain day, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. This report that was given him moved him to do something. And we could stand around or sit around and complain about our society, and we all know it's not good. We all know it's very bad and all that. Or we can allow it to move us to pray. And this is what he said: I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. This is for all time. Nehemiah was right. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, God keeps covenant with and a covenant of mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The same. And so Nehemiah is crying out of his heart. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes upon, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. He didn't point the finger. He said, we've all sinned. We're a bunch of sinners. We've walked the wrong way. Oh God, but hear me now as I come back to you. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and we have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commanded thy servant Moses. He said, we walked away from everything that was right, everything that was given to us. By and large, we have walked away. Our priests are corrupt. The prophets speak lies. He said, we're a mess. And now we're here in this foreign land in Babylon, which is full of idolatry, and it's bad. And so he calls out, please, Lord, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. He had done just that. Northern Israel was scattered among the Assyrian Empire, and now the southern part, Judea, was scattered among the Babylonian Empire. But, are you there in verse 9? But, aren't you thankful that God's Word sometimes says but? That means it's not over. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. He says, I know I scattered them, and I know how to go get them again. He knows where every backslider is. He knows their attitude. He knows what's happening with them. He knows. I said, he knows. He says, I'll bring them back. I don't have time to preach tonight. But he'll bring them back. I'm always amazed at some things. And when Nebuchadnezzar went into Jerusalem, he did more than one. He went in more than once. He came, he took stuff out, he took people out, he'd come again, take some more out, come back again, take some more out, until he had emptied the temple in Jerusalem completely out. He had taken every piece of brass, everything that was made out of silver, everything that was made out of gold, he took it all. Every spoon, every laver, everything. All the artwork, he took everything that he could get his hands on. He took it and he put it in the temple of his God. Doesn't seem like he was very loyal to his God, because soon after he got the Jews there, he built his own little thing, a statue that we're supposed to bow down to, and thought he was God. But anyways, God corrected him. But that's another story. Whatever their gods of Babylon were, and they were many, but he had set all the vessels in the temple of God into a heathen, idolatrous temple where they do not belong. 70 years or like, those vessels stayed there. They didn't melt them down and make them into something else. They just stored them where they should not be. But when God answers Nehemiah's prayer, and God answers Nehemiah's prayer, you'll find out the history says every spoon, every laver, every vessel that was used in the temple was taken back out of Babylon. And all of it says all the vessels were returned back into the temple. I won't be satisfied until every vessel is back in the temple where it belongs. All we have to do is pray. We have established God answers prayer. Nehemiah in his heart understood, though he was among apostate people, though he was among idolaters, he understood that if we could make our way back, perhaps God would give him another chance. Verse 10, now these are thy servants and thy people. He's praying, oh, we're your people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now, and this is our cry tonight, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer or the prayers of your servants tonight. Here in this place, O Lord God, let thine ear be attentive to our prayers tonight. And to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. And I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And if you read through Nehemiah and Ezra, you see God answers Nehemiah's prayer better than you can ever imagine. Hallelujah. They had a full-scale revival when they got back. Hallelujah. I read this tonight to say it doesn't matter how bleak it looks. It doesn't matter how dark it is out there. It doesn't matter how apostate the church seems to be. It doesn't matter if we'll pray. Listen, everything looked dark. Jerusalem's a mess. There's nobody there that understands anything. There's a small little handful of people in Babylon that understand who God even is. But Nehemiah had the audacity to pray anyway. We spoke of it earlier, that Daniel opened his window every 3 times a day towards a burned out city and prayed that God would restore. Somebody has to pray. And if we will pray, God's ears will be attentive. If we'll do what He tells us to do, that His ears will be attentive and answer our prayers. We established that last Sunday night. Tonight is not an exercise in, oh, let's fill the time with something. Oh, no. We're after something. We're after an awakening. Hallelujah. We're after the power of God be displayed here and abroad. And we're asking the Lord's ears to be attentive to us tonight, that He would hear our cries, that He would hear our groanings. Listen, if you're not moved by the state of our society, I don't say this for any other reason but to give you a little reference, but I've pastored since 1981. Alright, think of that. Since 1981, I've been I don't know what you call a lead or a senior pastor since 1981, and I have seen the destruction of our society. And it has increased and increased. Somebody who is a servant of the Lord must get His attention and say, oh Lord, be attentive to our prayers. Ooh, glory to God. He has promised, if He hears us, that He'll do something about it. Oh God in heaven, hallelujah. I believe tonight when we pray, God will be attentive to our prayers. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I don't have time to waste. I said I don't have time to waste. I don't. You don't either. Oh boy, there goes my math. Okay. Huh? Really? Okay. All right, I got to redo the math. Okay. Are there 51 people here? Did you get 51 numbers out? Is it true? Out of the 48, there's one left? Okay, that's mine. So you all obeyed the Lord. That's all the faith I had. I couldn't make 50. I could only make 48. Divided by 4 is what number? 12? Thank you, Vicki. Do you want me to tell the story? Okay. I think I've already told it. Only person I know it took algebra 3 times. We had a state exam called Regents, New York State Regents, and every year she got a little worse. Finally, the teacher said, you better do something else. So she became a nurse. I don't know what I'm doing here. I got four groups. 12 people in each group. I've got that far. But somebody else is going to have to help me do this part. So if you have a number 1 through 12, you're going to be in group 1. Congratulations. You will be praying for our missionaries, and we're going to have you meet. We've got some chairs out there if you need more. I'm not going to ask you to stand the whole time, but you're going to meet at our missionary board, and I want you to pray for the various missionaries on that missions board, all right? So that's group 1, 1 through 12. If your number is 1, 2, 3, no, 1 through 12. Group 2 is what? 13 through 25? 13 through 24, just like I said. You're group 2. Congratulations. You're going to meet up here, and you're going to be praying for the prodigals. And I'm going to ask you that you say each name aloud. Okay? Now, we have a list. We don't have to go through all the papers. We have a list. But you're going to meet up here and pray for the prodigals. So if your number is 13 through 24, you're going to meet here. Hallelujah. And over here somewhere is going to be group 3. And your numbers are going to be 25 through 36. Congratulations. I just seen if you knew. You're going to be praying for the needs of our congregation and the people that have been ill. And we've got Larry still in the hospital and those that are recovering and so forth. How's your left eye, Sister Van Meter? How's your left eye? Is this okay? It's those kind of needs that we're going to be praying for, the needs of the people of this congregation. So I'm going to have you meet over here. And then group number 4, which is numbers 37 through 48. Isn't that good? You're going to pray for the ministries of this church. Pray for our leadership. Pray for the pastor. Pray for whatever ministries that we're involved in, and we're involved in quite a number of things. And so I'm going to ask you to meet up front here over here to lift up. And this group also would include to pray for an awakening in our culture, and specifically in our area, that God would awaken people from their doldrums and they would get right with God. And I have pastored continually, and you can ask Brother Cooley as well, but I have never seen the lack of hunger that I have seen in our current culture. And I don't understand all the whys, why there is such great lack of hunger, but there is. So we need to pray for softened hearts to begin to hunger for God again and grow weary of just an entertainment society. All right? And now, also one other thing, and I'm going to give this little sheet to every group, okay? But also, within your group, you can pray for any needs that are represented in that group. You understand what I'm saying? If you have a need, and pray. All right, well, I have a need. I want you to pray for this, and you please feel free to do that. Do you understand? Group number 1, missions out there. Group number 2, prodigals here. Group number 3, back there, pray for the needs of our congregation. And group number 4 is here, and I'd like everyone from each of the groups to come and get this so you don't forget who you're praying for. Now, you may go. I'll put this one here. Your missions?
Yes.
What are you?
Four.
Okay.
Three.
We'll take it to 3. Who's